and welcome to episode 18 of the Bookcast Club. In today's episode, we discuss our recent and current reads and perfect escapist reads for these difficult times. If you would like to get in touch with the Bookcast Club with any suggestions or themes for future episodes, then you can contact us on Twitter, where we're at Bookcast Club, or by email on thebookcastclub@outlook.com. You can now support the Bookcast Club on Patreon. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon, then please visit Jenny's Patreon page, www.patreon.com/notes-to-the-moon. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It helps others find us, and we hope you enjoy the episode. Probably doesn't help that Ben's playing on the Xbox downstairs.
Oh, no, that
might
probably
be part of the reason that, as well.
Yeah, I think it's probably the combination of Ben on his Xbox and Rob on a FaceTime call. So,
and the whole world using the internet.
The whole world is using the internet for phone calls.
At home, yeah.
Which is quite nice. Like, I was talking to some friends of mine the other day, and we were saying that we hope we kind of keep this as a result of all of what's going on. Because I don't use FaceTime, like, at all, and it's been so nice to catch up with people who live far away.
Yeah, and I've been using House Party. We got House Party.
I don't, but I've heard it's got very Facebooky, and like it's all about adding people, and it's all a bit weird at the moment. I don't know. Maybe that's just
no. You just add people like you would add contacts on Skype, but when you talk to people, you can obviously talk to more than one person, and you all kind of pop up on the screen. And yeah, it's really good. I was like speaking to my two friends the other day, and we were all baking cakes in our kitchens together, which is really nice. So, yeah, it's surely after all of this, like, communication, appreciating the little things, surely that'll happen. Or we'll all just go back to exactly how we were, I don't know.
I really hope we stick with so much of this. Like, I've got some nice little note cards. I'm going to do some letter writing this weekend, I think. All that kind of stuff that I kind of never really make time for. And I do think it's been really good for everybody to be forced to slow down, obviously for completely awful reasons.
Yeah.
But I do think that, particularly in London, it's been really interesting to see everything properly grind to a halt. And hopefully I think we'll get into some good habits as a result of this. Like, I'm trying to look for the silver linings wherever I can. You know, it's nice to work from home. It's nice to spend so much time with my boyfriend. It's nice to, you know, be able to go out for a run in the morning still. It's, you know, there are some nice things. It's nice to be able to speak to people on FaceTime. We're really lucky. But
yeah, can you imagine if this happened even 10 years ago?
Well, exactly. I think kind of at that point, it would have been much more, it probably even would have been closer to what happened during the Blitz, I guess.
Well, we wouldn't have had the communication tools that we have now, which is, I think, what is keeping everybody kind of sane. So, yes, this is episode 18.
18.
We've had a little delay in recording for obvious reasons. I think we were going to record about 2 weeks ago, weren't we? And then it all started kicking off.
The whole world ground to a halt. So.
No, exactly. So, yeah, I thought, well, I've got some admin to do.
Yes.
If people have seen on my Instagram and your Instagram,
yep,
we're looking for a new co-host. So it'd be really good, especially at the moment when everybody is kind of at home and I think we all need a bit of light relief in our lives, if we could get an episode out more often.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're looking for somebody else to join us, and if you would be interested in being a co-host on the podcast, then I've got a blog post on my blog, which I'll link to in the show notes, which are on my blog, so if you find them you'll find the blog post. But basically we're asking for people to send, I think I said up to 5 minutes, talking about a recent read or a favorite read, just so we kind of get a vibe as to what you're like on audio, really, because I've spoken to a few people and I think the main thing is that you need to be confident in speaking I want to say on camera, not on camera, just on microphone.
Yeah, it's that confidence to kind of chatter away about nonsense into the ether, basically, yes. Which we're quite good at.
We
like to think we are. So if you think that you have that same kind of confidence, I mean, I don't think I'm particularly confident, but we'll still go with it. That same kind of enjoyment of talking about books, and you're happy to kind of explain what you mean by them and why you enjoy them and all that kind of thing, and you're confident in having an opinion about books, I think is probably most important. Then we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, no, that'd be really good. And I think I'd put the deadline as the end of the month, but I'll probably extend that by about a week now, especially as we're a bit behind in recording, so perhaps the end of the first week in April. But yeah, hopefully we'll have a new co-host soon and we can get episodes out a little bit quicker.
Yes.
Yeah, there was something else. Now I can't remember what. That's going to really annoy me.
Maybe it'll come back to you at the end.
Yeah, I'll try and think of it as we go along. So yeah, bearing in mind all the coronavirus stuff going on, what we were going to focus on today is easy, light, escapist reads. Yeah, so just some of our favourite cozy books, I suppose.
Yeah, just kind of anything that kind of helps you escape the actual real world, kind of anything from proper escapism to just really good reads. So
yeah,
excited to hear what everyone else thinks as well,
because I know I'm finding it a little bit hard to, as I'm sure a lot of people are, I'm finding it quite hard to focus, and so anything too heavy at the moment is just not gonna work for me at all. I don't think I've really watched television in ages, just because, yeah, I think my brain is so full of coronavirus that I just can't focus on much else at the moment.
I'm okay with TV at the moment, to be honest. TV's good. Reading, I'm having to be really careful what I pick up. Anything kind of, I'm seeing a lot of people doing sort of really great like crafting and really great like creative things. I don't have the brain power for that at the moment. I'm great with cooking. That's a fantastic escapist thing for me at the moment, but basically anything more intense than that is not going well for me at the moment.
No, I think it'd be the same for a lot of people, so yeah, we'll try and recommend some, I won't say fluffy, but this is probably as fluffy as we're gonna get.
I will say mine aren't necessarily fluffy. Mine are also quite chunky reads, because I think we've all got a little bit more time to read at the moment in a funny sort of way. Like, people aren't commuting, people aren't able to go out and see each other. So, I mean, to be fair, scheduling even this week was quite tricky, because I think we're both having loads of FaceTime calls and all sorts of stuff like that. But I do definitely have more time to read at the moment than I have done in ages. So yeah, let's hope that other people have got the same time.
Yes, I do hope people are finding time to have a break from whatever you need to have a break from. Cool, right. So we'll start with our usual, our current and recent reads.
Cool, so my first recent read is Girl, Woman, Other by Bernardine Evaristo. So this was in the press quite a lot last year because it was one of the two joint winners of the Man Booker Prize.
A bit controversy about that, wasn't there?
There was, and to be honest, now I've read it, I'm actually really angry that it didn't win outright, because it is phenomenal. Oh my god, I could not recommend this book highly enough. So I was actually reading it when I came to stay with you a few weeks ago, and it's basically snapshots, almost like short stories, of life in the UK, predominantly London, but not completely, with black women, or non-binary people, or predominantly women though. And it is just such a brilliant exploration of life in the current age, but life as a black woman in recent history, life as a non-binary person in the moment, and it's so difficult to describe because each chapter is so unique, but basically each chapter bases itself on kind of the one before in a funny sort of way. So basically you've got lots of links between each of the stories that are told, but the most incredible thing is that each one has such a unique voice. You can tell, you know, if you put the book down halfway through a chapter and you pick it back up, you can tell which character you're reading about, and that's just incredible because, you know, you hear a lot of books, or you've got a lot of books that go from different perspectives, and they don't necessarily always come off that well, but this one just nails it. It's completely phenomenal. It's a complete tour de force, and I genuinely couldn't recommend it highly enough. It would be really good for these times, actually, because there are some heavy things in it, and it does get a little bit misery porny at times, if I'm honest. But it's such great escapism. It's such great storytelling. Absolutely fantastic. Couldn't recommend it highly enough. Please, please get it.
Yes. I've obviously heard lots of good things about it. I think it's everywhere at the moment, isn't it? I feel like maybe I ordered it from the library, but that probably not going to get that for a while now.
No. I think it has just come out in paperback as well, though. So, I mean, I read the hardback, which I normally hate, but it was a book club pick, to be honest.
And you're not travelling anywhere at the moment, so...
And I'm not travelling anywhere at the moment, so hardbacks are fine. But yeah, paperback, I think, is out now, or very soon. So please, please do try to get your hands on a copy. It's well worth it. It's, yeah, I think it should have won outright. And it's great as well that it was such a women-focused story, because I do feel like the Man Booker Prize is quite a traditional literary prize in that I think it does focus on men, male writers, male stories, and this is very much a woman's story or women's stories, and it's brilliant for it. Absolutely fantastic.
So my first recent read, I've been reading a lot lately. I don't know what I'm on at the moment. I'm just gonna have a look on my Goodreads. I've read a lot more physical books. I have less time for audio now, but actually been getting through. I think it's because Robin goes to bed at 8:30, and then I get in bed at 8:30, and I read for like an hour and a half, which is more reading than I've ever done in the past. So I am on book 13 of the year, so I'm quite pleased.
That's incredible.
That.
I think I'm on maybe 6, and I was quite proud of that.
I mean, I think one of those might have been a child's book. But still.
It still counts.
I still read it. Yes, so one of my current reads that I'd like to talk about, because I've read a few lately and none have been brilliant, but I did enjoy this one and I picked it up because you'd mentioned the author, and that's The Ballroom by Anna Hope.
Oh, yeah. I read Expectation by her not too long ago.
Is that her
newer
one?
Really loved that. Yeah, that's only, I think that's still in hardback, so I think it's her most recent.
So this one is set in the heat wave of 1911, and it follows two characters who are locked up in an asylum, neither of whom are actually crazy. So I can't remember what their jobs were, why they were in there. I'm sure the woman's kind of was a worker in a factory or something, and did something at work, so she ended up in this asylum. But it's a love story, basically, set in an asylum. And it
that does sound quite up your street as a general genre.
Yes. How I gave it 3 stars. I did really enjoy it, because it was an enjoyable read. I liked her writing, so I don't know if that was something about her newer book that you enjoyed, but I enjoyed her writing.
Yeah, I thought her writing style was really lovely, very evocative, not without being flowery.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know which of her books this was. I don't think it was her first one, but I feel like considering the setting, which is right up my street, she didn't make an awful lot of it. I think she could have used it a lot more. She does kind of focus in on the characters, because it's narrated from 3 different characters' viewpoints. There's Ella, who's the girl that worked in the factory, John, and one of the doctors, I think he's called Charles, and I feel like I only really got to know Charles as a character, so it was almost like if someone told me it was her first novel, I would have thought, yeah, I can see that, because she almost didn't make enough of the setting, and then narrated from three different viewpoints, but didn't do them all equal justice, if that makes sense. So although overall I did really enjoy it, it was lacking in places, but for a historical fiction novel, I did think it was quite different. And it was well researched, because I feel like her grandmother or something, or maybe it was her granddad, was in an asylum, similar circumstances to the John character in this one, and had fallen in love with someone, and and it doesn't have a happy ending, and it's not kind of cliched fiction, which I really quite liked, but it isn't too heavy. So although we're going to move on to our sort of easier reads, I do think this sort of fits into that category, and then it's not particularly heavy historical fiction. I did enjoy it, and I can recommend it.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. It does sound like a very strong concept, but yeah, I guess if it's not particularly well executed, then that's a shame.
It's badly executed. I think it's just, it was such a good idea for a novel that I just felt it was a bit of a shame that she hadn't made more of the setting. I didn't really get a picture of what this, you know, when you look at asylums or you see kind of abandoned asylums, or they've converted asylums into flats and stuff, they're such extravagant buildings that I just thought I would have got more of a sense of where it was set.
Fair enough. So my other recent read is a very, very popular one at the moment. It is Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid. So this is the story
at the moment as well.
I
wasn't going to talk about it, but because I really just started, and I'm listening to it on audio. But yes, I am also currently reading that
Interesting.
One.
Interesting. So yeah, so basically, it's the story of Amira Tucker, who is a black babysitter to Alex Chamberlain, who is a white upper class woman. And basically, and this isn't a spoiler, this happens right at the beginning of the book, and I think it's even on the blurb. Basically, one evening, Amira is in the supermarket or grocery store with the little girl she babysits, Briar, who is Alex's daughter. She gets stopped by a security guard who thinks that Amira may be kidnapping Briar. And basically the book is pretty much everything that happens as a direct result of that. And I'm not going to give away any spoilers. There are quite a few twists and turns in the book, I think. So I'm not going to say very much because, Jenny, I don't want to ruin it for you. I would probably give this one a 3 out of 5. It's good. It's decent. There's some of it that made me cringe quite a lot, and some of that I think is deliberate in the way it's been written. You're meant to feel very uncomfortable at some of the things that happen. I'm not a big fan of a lot of the dialogue, if I'm honest. A lot of people are like, oh, the dialogue's razor sharp. I think it's quite clunkily written at times, and I'm like, it's one of those ones that I don't think that some of it is very much how people speak, and some of it to me is really not. And I find that balance difficult to strike, really, as in, well, not strike, I find that difficult, that balance really difficult, because it's just not all or nothing, it's somewhere in the middle, and that's not great from my side. It's very woke. I mean, it's written by a young black woman, it's brilliantly written in many, many ways, and it's a good, brilliant way of furthering a lot of conversation about race, and particularly race in America, and what it is to be a young woman. So there's a fantastic bit, and this isn't really a spoiler, but it may be, hopefully you don't think it is. Basically, there's this bit where Amira is kind of reflecting on where she is in her life in comparison to where her friends are. And I actually got quite emotional when I was reading it because it was such an accurate description of what it is to feel like you're being left behind or you're not in the same place as some of your friends. And I was just reading it like, oh my God, this is absolutely perfectly written and it's such a good representation of it. But then there are other bits that just fell a little bit flat for me. It's super popular at the moment. This is like on pretty much like every book club's list. It is like in the hands of pretty much everyone on Instagram. And I liked it. I think, yeah, 3 stars. I liked it. It is fair enough. But would I race to read another one of her books? I mean, this is her debut novel, so there aren't any at the moment. But when others came out, I don't think I would necessarily think it was something that I felt I had to read. But it's a good story. It's some really interesting concepts. There are a couple of bits that just made me groan. I was just like, oh, for God's sake, really? Are you really writing that? But there's other bits that just really hit the mark. So, yeah, up and down for me. But the story itself is an interesting one. And I overall, you know, I enjoyed it. I raced through it. It's a good light-ish read. It's a good escapist, interesting read for the current times. But, yeah. I think it'll be on a lot of beach read lists this year.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. The audio is very well narrated.
Is it narrated by 2 different people for the 2 different...
No, it's not.
It's
one lady, does it?
Because the chapters kind of alternate between, like, Emira's perspective and Alex's perspective, which is really interesting. But, yeah, I wasn't sure how that would come across on an audiobook.
I think she does a different, voice, but it's just the one narrator. So my current read is a book called Blue Monday. So I'm going to, right, it's by Nikki French. Now I feel like Nikki French isn't an actual person. I think it's written by a husband and wife. I need to look this up now.
I know the name, yes. But I can't think why.
Maybe not husband and wife.
Oh, it is a husband and wife. It is her husband and wife.
This had... A lot of people have been talking about this. It's part of a series. So it's the first one in the Frieda Klein series. And they're crime books. I thought, from the amount of people and actually who I've seen say this is really good, I thought I'd really love it. Because I really, really like the Robert Galbraith books. Love them. And I thought this would be like that. And actually, I'm quite surprised that it gets all the praise that it does. So it's interesting in the sense that Frieda Klein is a psychologist rather than a police officer. Or what was their proper job titles? Like crime investigators. I don't mean police officers. What is called
detective?
Yeah, like a detective novel. That she's a psychologist. So I thought it was interesting that it's written from that perspective. But it's not as good as I thought it was going to be. I'm racing through it. It is easy reading, which is certainly what I need right now. And I think there must be 7 of them. There's one for every day of the week. But I wanted it to be more character driven than it is, so I think because I'm a fan of the Robert Galbraith books, which is so character driven, I'm quite surprised that I'm nearly finished with this first one and I still don't really have an idea as to who Frieda Klein really is and what she's like. And then to kind of top it all off, I actually think the crime that she's involved in is a little bit cliche and obvious.
Oh, that's really annoying for a detective book.
Yeah, so I was like, it's one of those ones, a bit like what you were saying. I was like, is she really going to go there? Is that really what this is about? And I'm expecting it to take some, like, big twist. And actually, the twist that's come along is just really glaringly obvious. So, yeah, I'm intrigued. It is easy reading. I've got the second one out, which must be something Tuesday, I can't remember what it's called, and I'm intrigued to give that a read, but maybe it's because it's the first one, I don't know, or maybe the kind of crimes get more interesting. Who knows, maybe I'll give the second one a go, but if that's not that great, then I don't think I'm going to finish this series.
I think that's fair enough. I mean, I do think we've been spoiled with books like the Cormoran Strike ones, which are such good examples of detective stories. They are genuinely really brilliant. But yeah, I think other things are probably likely to disappoint on the back of that, which is a shame. But I like the fact that they've kind of got like a full 7 novel series out of this concept. That's quite clever.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called. Like, I can see one. I've now got them... Saturday Requiem or something.
Yes, it's Tuesday's Gone, Waiting for Wednesday, Thursday's Child, Friday on My Mind, Saturday Requiem, and Sunday Morning Coming Down.
They are easy reading, so if you want something quite escapist and relatively mindless, because they are not complicated crime plots, then
I think that's my problem with general crime books, is that I find them often to be like that though. So I don't want a crime book to be really obvious. I want a crime book to be like twists and turns that are really surprising, not like something I can see a mile off.
Yeah, and this one is obvious.
So my current read, I mean, I literally started today and I'm a few pages in, so I can't really say very much about it just yet, but it's called The Lacuna, and it's by Barbara Kingsolver.
The Racuna.
Lacuna. L-A-C-U-N-A. And it's by Barbara Kingsolver, who wrote the Poisonwood Bible.
Oh yeah, I remember talking about that.
Which I loved, absolutely loved it. So this one is also a very hefty tome. I think it's nearly 700 pages, which is why I thought it would be a good one for quarantine reading, because I don't have to take it on the tube. I tend to pick hefty books for like holidays mostly. I know this isn't a holiday, but at times it feels like one. Because I don't have to carry them around very much. And yeah, so far it's really interesting. So basically it's about a guy called Harrison Shepherd, who is he kind of works for Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. So it's set in Mexico in the 1930s, or it begins in Mexico in the 1930s, and then it kind of goes through his lifespan, I think. So it seems like kind of like a good epic novel, which I like. The writing is wonderful. Her writing style is just brilliant. It's very descriptive. It's not but not overly so. It gives you such a clear picture of the environments and stuff like that. And one of the things I really liked about the Poisonwood Bible was the focus on the environment in the Congo in the 1960s. And I'm really hoping that I get a similar kind of effect of Mexico in kind of, I guess, a similar sort of time frame, actually, from this book. It won the Orange Prize for Fiction, so it's obviously seen as quite a good one, I guess. But so far, I'm loving it. It's just, I'm slightly intimidated to start it because it was such a hefty book. And to be honest, I don't know that much about Frida Kahlo, so I'm hoping I get a little bit of interesting insight into her from this, and Diego Rivera as well, who I know very, very little about. But yeah, I kind of like the idea of this as a fictional story of a real life, or like real people. And yeah, I'm excited to read something very different, very, very different to everything that's going on at the moment. So really, really hoping that I enjoy this one as much as I enjoyed the Poisonwood Bible.
Oh, yeah, no, I haven't heard of that one.
No, I hadn't either. I picked it up in a charity bookshop. I think it was just before Christmas. And I decided not to take it home for Christmas with me because it was so massive. Instead, I took And Then There Were None, which I think I talked about before, which was brilliant. And yeah, I'm just excited to have the opportunity to kind of just really get stuck into it, if I'm honest. Another friend of mine is really into Barbara Kingsolver's books. She's not read this one, but really rates all of her other ones. So I'm hoping this will be another good one to report back.
Yeah, I'll have to try one of hers. I think, yeah, the thought of a big book for me at the moment is a bit of a turn off, but I don't actually have any more time than I had before. So
No, yours is probably pretty similar.
Oh dear. Yeah, so the other current read I wanted to mention is The Comparison Cure by Lucy Sheridan. So Lucy.
I've seen you share this on your Instagram.
Yeah, it's
it looks really good.
I haven't picked it up lately again, not because it's heavy going, but because it is. I suppose you categorise it as a self-help book, really, and because it involves a little bit of soul searching, I have had to put it down in the past week. But Lucy Sheridan is, well, I think she brands herself as the world's first and only comparison coach. And I wasn't sure about reading this to start with, because I thought, oh, you know, actually I've done a lot of hard work on myself over the years, and I don't feel like I do compare myself to people that much anymore, and I used to care what people thought about me, but now I don't so much. But I heard loads of good things about this book, and I thought, oh, do you know what, the library's got it, I'll get it out. And I'd say it's kind of so much more than just looking at how you might compare yourself to other people. She obviously, I don't know if she classes herself as a life coach, probably, but I think the whole book is like working through her life coaching program, I suppose, and how you can look at gaining more self-worth and self-confidence, and how you practice that, and how you sort of set your own goals and focus and not worry about what other people are doing. And actually, when she made me not question myself but list who even you might have had fleeting moments of comparison with, you do realise that actually you do compare yourself to people, even if you think you don't, and even if you think you're quite strong-willed, there will be people that push your buttons, I suppose, and it's not always in a bad way, but the way she makes you work through things, you do realise that you are comparing yourself to people, even if it's not because you're jealous of them or any kind of negative feelings. Sometimes it's positive feelings, but by comparing yourself to someone that you're seeing do really good things, it can stop you in following your own path. So yeah, I've really, really enjoyed it. I'm nearly at the end now. I've picked it up in the last few days again, and I really want to reread it, so I've bought my own copy so that I can write in it. But yeah, I really, really recommend it. It's so well written, and I just think if you need any kind of self-confidence boost, even if it isn't to go off and do something amazing with your life, or even just little things, like there's an activity in it where she gets you to think about just a typical day in however many years time, and you go through that day writing down how you'd want it to be, so like where you wake up, what you do for breakfast, who's around you, where you go to work, what your workspace is like, all that kind of stuff. And when you sit and go through that, it just pieces together where you might be wanting to head in life. And it's just really, really fascinating, even to the point that I was like picturing the garden outside and how I want the garden to be and how I want us to spend our time out there and that kind of stuff. So it's a really lovely book, even if you haven't got some big life goal that you're trying to achieve.
Sounds fantastic. That genuinely sounds absolutely brilliant, because I think, as I think we've sort of discussed before, I'm not particularly into self-help books or anything like that, but this one sounds really, really good. I'm so intrigued. I've just like pulled it up immediately, and yeah, I'd be well up for giving this a go.
So we just want to mention some easy light reads now that I think, just because of what's going on currently, all the books we seem to be reading anyway might fit into this, but we've just got a list that we're gonna kind of run through of
okay, so you might enjoy. Four are just kind of four of the
difficult times,
I guess, top things that sprung to mind when we sort of said light read, cozy reads, escapist reads. So first and foremost, probably the easiest one, the first one that jumped to my mind, was The Time Traveler's Wife by Audrey Niffenegger. I'm not sure if that's actually how you pronounce her surname, but it's how it's written, so I'm saying it phonetically. And this is probably one of my all-time favourite books. I have read and read and read this book. I've probably read it over 30 times. It is pure escapism for me. And I can't recommend it highly enough for that purpose. It's the story of Henry and Claire. Henry is a man who has a problem with his biological clock, which means he randomly gets pulled in and out of time. And Claire is his wife. And it's the story of how they met, and then they met again, and their life together, and how they go through life trying to kind of forge a normal life and forge a normal path and live their lives as ordinarily as possible while all of this extraordinary stuff is going on. So it jumps around in time a lot. Obviously, it very much goes from kind of Henry as a 30-year-old to Henry as a 45-year-old and all of that sort of stuff. But it follows a normal human timeline. So if you keep that in mind as you're reading it, it is much easier to read. I know some people who have read it and have really struggled with the time jumping around. But if you focus on the fact that it's generally chronological for most of us, all of us, I don't know, then it is absolutely brilliant. So pure escapism, really beautifully written, really, really, really rate it.
Yeah, so I was going to mention, and just to be transparent, Abby's our friend. but
she is indeed.
Abigail Mann's book, The Lonely Fajita, which I read a proof copy of on NetGalley, is such a warm hug of a book. It's just, it's really lovely. And I don't really read a lot of kind of women's contemporary fiction. And the ones that I haven't particularly enjoyed all that much. But this, I just don't really see what there is to dislike about this, to be honest. It's about a girl called Alyssa. I think she's 26 and works in kind of like a social media type job in London. And she breaks up with a boyfriend. And what happens is that she, I think the program's called Elder Care, where they... Does she live rent-free? Something like that. She gets to live rent-free with an elderly person in return for free bed and board. And she, I guess, doesn't look after... She's not her carer, but she goes and kind of lives with this elder lady. And it's just about their relationship and the things that this girl, Alyssa, finds out about Annie, her new housemate. And it's just a really lovely, warm, fuzzy book. And Abby is very funny, so bits of it I was genuinely laughing out loud. And it's just a really great, warm, fuzzy read. And another book that I enjoyed was The Flat Share, and I think if you enjoyed that, then you probably would enjoy this, because it's the same kind of contemporary fiction, really, set in the modern world.
That sounds so lovely. I'm so excited to get my hands on a copy. I can't wait for it to come out. It's not out fully yet, is it? Or is it?
I feel like it's out in May.
Yes, I was going to say, I thought May as well. So, Abby, please correct us if we're wrong. But yeah, I'm super excited to read it.
May 14th.
There we go, yeah. Very, very excited for that one. As you say, I'm not normally into that kind of book, but that leads me very neatly onto my second recommendation, which is What Fresh Hell by Lucy Vine. And I think I may have talked about this one a long time ago on the podcast, probably in like episode 3 or 4. Basically, the concept of this one is it's written from the perspective of Lila Fox, who is, the book starts when she is on a dreadful hen party, basically one of these kind of full-on, I think it's in Magaluf or something, people vomiting everywhere, butlers in the bar, full, you know, stereotypical hen party. Really sorry if you like that kind of hen party. It's just not my style. And it's not Lila's either. And while she's there, she basically gets messages from her best friend saying, oh my God, I'm engaged and you're my maid of honour, of course, and all this kind of stuff. So she basically then goes into having to do it all over again while her own life is falling apart. And she's trying to find herself and all this kind of stuff. And it is perfect women's contemporary fiction. It's so light, such an easy read. It's very funny. It's the one tricky thing about reading it at this time is I know there's a lot of weddings and hen parties and things that are being postponed at the moment, but it is genuinely just so good. I couldn't recommend it as a light, easy, properly giggly book. It's a rom-com in a book. It's, you know, it's basically like watching, I don't know, maybe not Mean Girls, but, you know, somewhere between Mean Girls and Love Actually and all that kind of stuff, kind of all crossed together. And it's just lovely. So I would recommend, it's a jolly read. It's a jolly women's contemporary fiction, sort of in the same ilk as I guess The Flatshare and Laura Jane Williams's book, I guess, is probably in the same category, all that kind of stuff. So if you like that kind of thing, I think you'll absolutely love this one.
And in a similar vein, my next recommendation is going to be Bridget Jones's Diary by Helen Fielding.
There we go. We're on a roll here.
I know. But one, if you've not read it, you really, really ought to. It's a brilliant book. If you like the film, it's exactly the same, basically. She's a very, very good writer. The fact that it's written in diary format, but you get such a good idea of what Bridget Jones as a person is like in her character. It's really brilliant. It's of its time, so it was written in the 90s, so she talks a lot about losing weight, which I think you probably wouldn't see appear in a book written today. But
no, and particularly given that when you look at the numbers that she talks about, she's very slim in real world.
Just there's a quote on Goodreads that's talking about 123 pounds. I mean, that's probably what my leg weighs. No, it's so, yeah, it's of its time, but it's very, very funny and very well written.
Can I confess that I don't think I've actually ever read it?
I think you should.
I think I should as well. I think it sounds like the sort of thing I should go on to. Okay, so my next one is actually a bit of a diversion from this theme, but it is very much, it's close.
Do you want me to shall I do one more that isn't a diversion from that theme?
Yeah, you go for it.
And then we can divert properly.
Okay, you go for it.
So I will quickly mention Heartburn by Nora Ephron, which I know you've read that as well.
I have indeed. It is lovely. It's such a good book. Yeah,
and so I read it the first time. This time I listened to it because the audio is narrated by Meryl Streep. And it's just so brilliant. And actually, if you like Bridget Jones's Diary, I think you'll really like Heartburn, because it's all about a very strong central character. And I'd say she's called Rachel something, I can't remember her surname. But if you like her as a character, then you'll love the entire book, because she's so witty and so funny, that even though she's just talking about general life events, you just really love her and you want to know everything about her. The thing that, re-listening to it, the thing that I'd compare it to is, well, if you enjoyed The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, then I think you'd really like it, because their personalities are very, very similar.
That's such a good call. I had never thought of that. I think it is that kind of Jewish woman in New York.
Oh yeah, exactly. Thing. They're very similar and very funny. And I think, yeah, if you enjoy that TV series, you'll love this book.
Yeah, I really rate that one as well. That's such a good shout. And the recipes in it are really lovely as well. It's all very, it's all comforting recipes, because she's obviously going through a bit of a tough time in the book as well.
I love a book with recipes in.
Same.
The fact that she'd like just puts these sort of various family recipes in there. Yeah, it's just, yeah, you're right. It makes it even more comforting.
Definitely. So my next one is not a comforting read, but it is one that I think you should read. And it's, I think maybe you have, I can't remember, Jenny, if you've read this or not, it's The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
No, I haven't. It's massive.
So this is the thing, I'm a big fan of a massive book. I'm a quick reader when I get around to reading. I'm a very quick reader, so I need a good chunky book to keep me entertained. And this is brilliant. And again, it's pure escapism, because it's all about stuff that certainly never happens in my world. So basically, the book starts with Theo Decker going to an art gallery with his mum one morning, because he's in trouble at school and he's being called into the principal's office. And it basically, very sadly, a terrorist attack happens at the time, and his mum is killed in it. And it's basically everything that happens as a result of that incident. So there is this painting called The Goldfinch. He takes it And as a result, he gets pulled into this kind of crime underworld, really. And all of that going on with it is just so escapist. It's not a world that I know anything about. There's a whole beautiful subplot in it around furniture restoration and stuff like that, which is just wonderful. And the relationship between Theo and this man who sort of takes him in, or kind of becomes a sort of adoptive father-ish figure when he, after that everything sort of kicks off. It's just really, really wonderfully written. I love Donna Tartt's writing. If you've read The Secret History and you've not read this, please do. Same goes in reverse, actually. If you have read this and not The Secret History, please do. It's just wonderful. And if you are finding yourself with more time on your hands because of this, please get into Stuck. Please get stuck into this. Into Stuck? Stuck into this. Because it is just beautifully written. It does slow down quite a lot in the middle, but a friend of mine pointed out that his life slows down a lot at that point. So it's very languid. It's very kind of soporific. It's kind of, it's the writing really, really matches what's going on in his life. And yeah, it's just brilliantly written. It's such a great story, such a clever concept. A really, really good, hefty read to get stuck into in these tricky times.
Maybe one day.
I think it would make a really good audiobook. You should keep an eye out for the audiobook of it. I mean, it does get a bit convoluted at times, so yeah, maybe not the best one for now, but maybe, I know you've got a long plane journey hopefully coming up at the end of the year, so maybe an audiobook for a long plane journey? Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. If it happens, we'll see.
We'll keep everything crossed.
Yeah. Okay, so my last one, and again, this isn't, it's not a cheerful book as such, but that's Tiny Beautiful Things by Cheryl Strayed. Now, the reason that I recommended this one is, you always remember more details than I do. It's letters, isn't it, that people have written into her column?
Yeah, that's right. So she's an agony aunt, known as Sugar. In an online now, but I think it may have been a real paper at the time, called The Rumpus, and it's an advice column. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, so it's the letters that she's, and her replies, and I know when I read this that there was at least three or four letters in there that really hit home with me.
Totally.
And the way
agree.
She writes, and the compassion that she writes with, feels like she's writing to you. And I think with everything difficult going on in the world right now, there's bound to be something in that book where it feels like Cheryl Strayed is literally talking straight to you. And she's just such a, I've actually don't think I've ever really known anyone or met anybody as and genuinely as compassionate and caring as she is. Like, it never feels false. All the advice that she gives is very from the heart, generally from experience. And even if it's not from experience, it doesn't feel forced.
No, I completely agree. It's just so wonderfully compassionate. And it's a nice one to dip in and out of, I would say. It's, yes, obviously, because it's letters and answers, it's not one long narrative, so that's a really nice thing at the moment. If you're finding that focus isn't great for you right now, it's just such a great book. I haven't picked it up in ages. I think my copy's buried at the bottom of a stack of books, but I really need to dig that out at the moment.
Yes, even if you maybe flicked through it just to find a relevant letter, that might be all you need to do right now.
Totally. And I mean, there's a brilliant one where two women writing about the same situation, and she calls it a clusterfuck, which it is, and it's hilarious. Feel free to beep that if you want, Jenny. And even the way she deals with that sort of slightly ridiculous, very extreme situation is just so wonderful and so beautifully written and so compassionate, as you say. She's a brilliant, brilliant advice columnist. The Dear Sugars podcast is fantastic as well. Couldn't recommend that highly enough as well if you need a good listen. And my final one is also non-fiction, so kind of links in a way there. It is going to sound ridiculous. It is The Library of Ice, Readings from a Cold Climate by Nancy Campbell. So basically it's a non-fiction book about ice, which sounds utterly ridiculous, But it's wonderful. So basically, Nancy Campbell was an, or is an artist of some description, I think, like a printmaker, from what I can gather from the very beginning. And she takes this residency in Greenland, I think. Yeah, it's Greenland, at the most northern museum in the world, where they basically host these residencies for writers and artists and all things like that. And she becomes very fascinated with ice as a result of being there in the winter, where it's obviously just completely frozen. And it's so wonderfully written. It's so evocative. It's very dreamy. It's, I can't describe how bizarre it is to read a book about ice and think of it as such a wonderfully interesting story. And I will say there is a whole chapter towards the beginning about the science of ice, which really lost me. But once I got past that, it was just so dreamy, so lovely, so escapist. It's just about, you know, parts of the world and that we're not in most of the time, and the way ice impacts people's life. And there is sort of, you know, a really interesting reflection on climate change, obviously, as a result of this. But just the whole thing is just wonderful. Really, really wonderfully written book. Very dreamy, very soft, very, very, very good, very immersive, and I really loved it. So yeah, I mean, obviously it feels a bit weird to read a book about ice in the spring, but definitely one to pick up if you've got some extra time on your hands.
The title's really lovely.
It is, it's such a lovely title, and that the first chapter in particular, oh my god, it just drew me in immediately. It's just so wonderful. I think you would really like it, actually. I would watch out for that sciencey chapter because it is intense, but aside from that, it's just wonderful.
No, it sounds good.
Yeah, a very lovely read. So hopefully we've given you some good ideas there. I think that's a lot of books we've just rattled through.
We have rattled through quite a lot. Yeah, I hope everyone is doing okay.
Yes, and please look after yourselves.
That, yeah, and I know that my anxiety is certainly... peaked in the last couple of weeks, and I just, yeah, hope and everybody that feels lonely or on their own right now realizes that they can reach out to people, even if it is me or you, through Instagram.
Absolutely. I'm always on Instagram, very literally, yes, always on Instagram.
And it's just, I've had some really nice messages on there over the past couple of weeks, mainly talking me down from a cliff edge, but, you know, just, even if it's just to share a book title with me, just knowing that people care and that there's somebody that will listen to you can really help when you're feeling anxious and slightly out of control. Yeah, and hopefully with us getting a new co-host, will be putting an episode out more regularly, because I think what we all need right now is good books to read.
Completely agree. We all just need a little bit of comfort, a little bit of softness, a little bit of kindness, I guess. And I think you can find all of that in a book.
Definitely. That's probably a good point to end it on.
I think so. But yes, stay safe, everybody.